is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
On today's program, getting an update on the United Community Action Network. Sean Pritchard's the executive director. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Kyle.
So, overall, how has the past year gone for UCAN?
Well, we've been really busy. At the beginning of the year, we undertook some updates for UCAN as far as the website, a new logo, then actually trying to get to the point where we're going to adopt a three-year strategic plan later this month. So a lot of changes, a lot of good things, a lot of trying to come out of COVID and see what post-COVID looks like as far as program delivery goes.
You know, so much has been transitioning in the past year. What do you feel like your biggest challenge in the last year has been?
You know, if I had to say one thing, I'd say it'd be the masking that Head Start kids had to do in teachers. And even when the state mandate for masks was lifted, we were still under a federal rule in which we had to mask the teachers. And it really, you know, it shows up in the criteria we do to rank the progress of kids and their development. It really showed up, the masking over the past couple years has delayed some development, and so we're trying to catch up.
Do you feel like that the catching up part is going to be something that takes longer than, a longer period of time rather than a shorter period?
You know, I'm certainly not an expert in that, but, you know, after such a long period and such an important stage of children, you know, their development, I would think it's going to take a little while.
Yeah, it seems like there's, and of course, right now, it's really front-end research looking at that, you know, kids who went through the pandemic, it's going to be sort of like maybe some of us that are middle-aged that had grandparents that talked about going through certain wars or other things. I mean, it's just going to be a period of time that it's going to have, permanent implications for some people.
It will, yeah.
So let's talk about the Gary Leaf Navigation Center. That has obviously been a big project. How are things progressing?
Well, it's been a big project, and should also note that UCAN's taken over two other homeless shelters in Josephine County, as we serve that county as well. So, you know, currently with the Gary Leaf shelter, there's a stage one that's in place. There's 10 pod shelters out in a parking lot. Those have been at full occupancy since the beginning, July 1st of this year, or of last year, excuse me. And we've had some success stories. We've had people move on to permanent housing. We've had folks there that have been reunified with family members. And so we need to tell those success stories and be able to explain those to the public and how that all works.
So are the services being provided there? Is it kind of a phase-in in terms of you're doing some things now, but you're planning more later?
Yeah, I'd say so. We're somewhat limited by space right now because of the phase two construction for congregate shelter. So I have staff in one half of the building, and then the city as a project manager's remodeling the other half. And so when they get that done, then we flip over again, putting staff on the other side until the entire building is complete. And then we'll be able to house 35 to 40 folks congregate style.
You know, I went through one home remodel about 10 years ago, and as crazy as that was, I can't even contemplate what it is for a whole, you know, large building where you've got to move, you know, the entire staff from one side to the other and clients from one place to the other. And that's a lot of work and a lot to deal with every day in the midst of trying to provide a bunch of services.
Right, it is. And I think everybody needs to keep in mind that this is a new program for UCAN, so there's a lot to learn. We've only been doing this for a little over a half a year now.
So what are some of the services that are being provided right now?
Well, the main thing is that we want to get people enrolled in the UNITAS program, which is something that UMPA Health has helped put together, and it's basically a cross-referral system so that wraparound services are insured and people aren't falling through the social service safety net. So a lot of that involves, you know, people getting people connected with agencies such as Aviva Health or being able to get to Mercy for a medical appointment. And so there's, you know, a lot of partnership going on right now. And when the building's done, we'll be able to bring partners directly in and set up appointments with some of our guests.
Now, I don't recall, is there very much adjoining land to that building where you would have the potential for expansion at some point as well?
You know, I think there's probably room for another 10 pods out in the parking lot, but when we get past that point, there really isn't anything adjacent to allow for that.
So talk about the long-term impact you think this can have.
Well, again, I think, you know, certainly we'll be able to get people into a referral system. And again, you know, success is told with this work one story at a time, I feel. And so we're just taking it one day at a time and trying to get people the help that they need to get back on their feet and to get permanently housed. And I'll say it doesn't end once we place someone in permanent housing. A lot of these people have needs that will continue to require intensive wraparound care. So we're going to do soft handoffs to other agencies as needed, but we're going to keep watching these folks and making sure that they can stay in permanent housing.
Well, I know that some of my friends in mental health over the years have talked about, you know, you see a crisis situation and they say this didn't happen overnight. It took a long time to get from more normalcy to that situation. Mm-hmm. And especially if there are mental health issues or drug abuse or drug use of some sort involved in there, that even complicates it. And it's not something that, you know, is a short term, but for some people, it's going to be many years to get back out of that.
Right. Well, I always tell people, you know, social services is difficult because, you know, you're helping people. Sometimes they take one step forward and two steps back, and then you just have to wipe that out as a program. Someone on the front lines providing programs, you have to just forget about that and keep trying because, you know, we're not perfect, and none of us are. And so you have to continue to show kindness and compassion towards people and just be there for them. And that's what UCAN's all about.
You know, a lot of other things going on. One thing I noticed the other day, we've got kind of a window towards the federal official end of the pandemic status and some of the things that go with that. And with the SNAP benefits adjustment, et cetera, are there concerns about food insecurity for some of the populations that you guys deal with?
Yeah, it's not only the ending of the SNAP benefits, it's the inflation going on as well. And we have seen an increase in what the food pantries are requesting from us. And luckily, we have good partners like Sherm's here in town that they provide a lot of help. I walked into the food bank the other day and I said, well, I was giving a tour and I said, well, most of this food actually comes from USDA, and I was corrected. I mean, 3/4 of it came in from Sherm's, pallet after pallet. And then we also have a lot of donations that come through for that to help us supplement the program. I think I signed about 400 thank you letters the other day for individual donations coming in. So we're going to be there to provide nutrition to these pantries and community kitchens.
Are there other sources where you can get additional food, or do you feel like the need's going to continue to ramp up as some of these benefits fall off?
Yeah, the need's going to increase. We do have a means by which to get special funding through the Oregon Food Bank, which allows to supplement also. But you know, right now we're meeting the need, and I've got some great people running that program and have full confidence they'll meet the needs of the region.
All right, we're going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back with Sean Pritchard, Executive Director of the United Community Action Network. The interview and podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson coming at 1, Peter Greenberg with I Am Travel at 4. On tomorrow, we're going to explore one of the programs of the Ford Family Foundation. John Pritchard, Executive Director of the United Community Action Network, is with us now. When I look at how much UCAN has going on, how diverse it is. I know that you've got a lot of different funding streams with all the different programs. Given that just about everything in life has been on a bumpy ride for 3 years now, how are your funding streams doing for things?
Well, you know, everything's looking fairly constant right now as far as funding goes. I'd say the biggest drop-off has been rental assistance, of course. And, you know, we've helped, oh gosh, over the last 2 years, we've helped, you know, landlords with about $15 million. And that's allowed, you know, landlords to go ahead and do things like maintenance to their property, you know, and otherwise they probably wouldn't have received that money because of the safe harbor period. So, you know, I think rental assistance is going to continue, but it's just going to be a more limited type program. And but the other funding sources seem to be holding steady.
So just like food, then some of the other areas, things are going to drop back a bit then.
I see a little bit of pullback, but not a ton of it. And everything, you know, when it comes to the programs like WIC and Healthy Families and the Head Start, I don't see a lot of pullback in funding.
How are you doing staffing-wise? I mean, every organization has had issues with staffing, and I'm sure when you work with an organization where all the jobs are basically fairly intense and take a lot out of people, how's that gone for you?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a competitive market here in Roseburg for sure for some of our positions, but we're fortunate to also have the Grants Pass market to pull from for employees, and then we can cross-train them to fill in either county. I'll say also we've underwent a market study for salary, and we've brought salaries up to market rate, and that's helped quite a bit also with not only recruiting but retention of employees.
And do you find when you're looking at some of these more specialized positions where you are, you know, looking to pull people in or in some other part of Oregon or another state, is it hard to get them to the Umpqua Valley?
Well, you know, probably the program that we pull the most people in from out of state would be the AmeriCorps program, and we run the AmeriCorps program for Southern Oregon, so it's more than Douglas County. But these folks typically come in from a different area of the country, and the pandemic had really hurt that program, but everybody's back in the groove now, and we've got volunteers in many, many smaller communities helping out and helping with programs, and there's a lot of enthusiasm in that program.
Now, do you find that some of the people that are on the younger side, maybe beginning their career or close to it, are reluctant to come to a smaller area versus a more urban one?
You know, I don't see that. I think our recruitment's always held up pretty well, and I think there is a lot going for us that pulls people in, younger people. The natural beauty and all of that plays a big part in drawing people into the area, I think.
Now, as a nonprofit, you've got a board of directors. Explain how that's put together and what their role is.
Well, sure. Our board consists of basically three groups, community members, government officials, and then low-income folks, basically our customers. So those three groups, you know, keep an eye on things like budgets and you know, big policies that are undertaken and need approved with the agency, and then also provide support to the executive director, somebody that can lend an ear when I need a little advice. And we have Steve Loosley as our chair now, and Steve's a wonderful community member, and I really appreciate his service to the board.
Talk about the aspect of having some of your clients, customers, be involved in that process as well.
Well, they have firsthand experience about program delivery, and certainly can add a lot of that experience to actions that are taken by the board and program expansions. And, you know, they're there. They've been there. They've either there right now with economic challenges, or they were able to get past that with assistance through UCAN. So it's very valuable to hear their voice.
And I don't know if that's necessarily all that common in nonprofit organizations to pull people in like that.
You know, I don't know for sure. I don't know. It's a requirement of all community action agencies to do this.
Interesting. So what about, you mentioned earlier, working with other agencies. There's a lot of folks and a lot of occasions where somebody comes to one agency for one type of assistance, and really they need help from several different places. How do you all work together?
Well, that's what we're trying to get better with the UNITAS software system. But, it's, you know, soft handoffs with other agencies or emails or right now. And, we get the job done with getting people the help they need. If they can't get it at UCAN, we typically know where to refer them.
Any new programs or things you'd like to add in the next year or so or up even in the more distant future?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I would just say that I've learned over the last 3 years to stay flexible. I recall back 3 years ago, I came into the agency and senior leadership sat me down and said, Sean, no new programs, please. We have enough. And I said, okay, I agree with that. Let's not. And then a month later, COVID came and we had all kinds of new programs that we had to get out there. I'd say the one thing probably is that the two things, I want to get volunteer base strengthened, and then I want our partnerships with our governments, agencies, and social service agencies to be strengthened. And so those are my two big goals for the year.
Now, I had forgotten that you took over like just weeks before COVID hit, right?
Right. Yeah. So
that was the welcome to Roseburg. What have
right,
I done?
Right. Yeah. And then everybody put a mask on. So it's hard to put names with faces, right? And so that was, difficult.
And you had, I know, a percentage of folks working remotely.
Right.
And so that was even harder to connect, I'm sure, even just people that you'd seen in your main office briefly. And,
right.
And suddenly they're not there, but they're still working.
Yeah. Very difficult. We had a wonderful IT team that we went from in person one day to everybody essentially being home the next. And then we were able, once we knew what the issues were with the virus, we're able to kind of get people back in at a staggered pace.
And, over this period of time, I mean, I think for anybody managing any organization, the last 3 years has been a bit of a wild ride.
It has. It's put a big strain on community action agencies because all across the country, they were the prime agency to deliver rental assistance and utility assistance to people and ensure that landlords are being taken care of.
And because so many of those things with the pandemic ramped really fast, that had to be an added stressor because a lot of those things would normally be something that a group of, a committee would be put together to meet and they'd work on a plan for a while and then it would get adopted and then you would set a timeline for starting it. And all of that just went away. It was like, let's do it and get it done now.
Yeah, and a big strain on our HR and fiscal to handle all that as well. People don't often associate all the work that goes into those two departments of an agency when an influx of money comes in. But they've done a great job and have put in actually new systems during that time period. And I'm really proud of them.
Now, you, of course, have your office out on the nonprofit campus. You've got the other things out there. Do you have other locations that maybe people don't know about?
Yeah, actually, we just purchased the old Riverside School building across from Waldron's on Garden Valley and plan to expand out into the second floor of that with some of our direct service programs, utility assistance, rental assistance. And then we also already have some programs on the first floor, WIC. And some other programs there. So, a lot of expansion. As I mentioned before, we have the two new shelters in Grants Pass as well. So a lot going on.
With the Riverside School then, will some of the other organizations or businesses that have been there, will that ultimately kind of phase back and it'll be all UCAN eventually?
Yeah, that's about a 20,000 square foot building and it's all going to be UCAN.
Wow. So that will be a big addition and be right in the central part of town that might be helpful for some things as well.
Yeah, we think for a one-stop, service delivery, it's going to be handy for people.
And if people want to find out more about all the things you do, mention your website and just how they can get connected.
Oh, sure. They can get on the web and go to ucancap.org. So that's UCANCAP.org. Or call into 1-800-301-8226. There's assistance out there for people. You just need to call in and see what we can do to help, especially with utility prices going up so much. Please call in and see if we can help you with some bills.
All right, John Pritchard, United Community Action Network. Thanks for coming in. 1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KHAS. KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.